Part 3 What Really Happened / What To Do Know Thyself Remember Who You Are The System The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy, and when you're inside, and look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged, and many of them are so inured, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Morpheus the Matrix. Most people in the world are wholly dependent upon the system and cannot function without it. This system forces them to live in a debt cycle which never ends. The system perpetrates an addiction to materialism for the purpose of producing interest which is created from debt. Since debt does not really exist, then neither does interest. Hence, the national debt is a hoax perpetrated by the PTB. The biggest con game the world has ever known was perpetrated by those who control education, law, media, churches, banks, medicine. They played upon our innate belief that we must earn our right to life, that we are unworthy, not to trust our intuition, that we must depend upon the authorities, that any punishment we sustain is justified and deserved, that we have no self-generated power, that what is outside our minds is real. They have confiscated our health, wealth, love, and peace of mind under this ruse. This scam is known as the Matrix. How did we ever get conned into believing that we are required to earn our living? The perpetuation of this myth is destroying our true spiritual nature. If my Creator and I co-created my physical existence, then this makes me sovereign, right? Why would I do anything other than just be free to live, to experience? Someone thinks we must pay for the privilege, who? How did this ever come about? How could we ever have fallen for this nonsense? Someone on this planet had the most brilliant, scathing idea in the history of mankind to appeal to our egotistical belief that we are all guilty and deserve punishment, that we are something other than who we truly are, and capitalized upon it. When I began to study law, with the intent of understanding why the world is as stupid as it is, I got only further entrenched. The expanding gap between my demand for peace of mind and that for resisting authority made me crazier than I already was. I knew that what I resist persists, and yet I kept trying to make work something that was designed not to work, the entire corporation / banking system, aka the military industrial congressional complex, after Eisenhower's suggestion. I was trying to make sense of something completely nonsensical. However, it does make sense when one realizes that the system under which we function was designed by the ego mind. Our spirit mind is continuously intending to show us that getting upset by trying to change something that isn't real is the epitome of effort and futility. It took me years to stop trying to change what isn't and focus on changing the perceiver me. The world was the way it was only because I said so. Finally, I opted to learn how to make the system the one designed not to work, work for me. Most of the so-called patriots I knew were busy studying laws, the Internal Revenue Code, statutes, Code of Federal Regulations, U.S. Code sections, U.S. Supreme Court cases and decisions, judges' rulings, etc. For some reason I just wasn't interested. They could quote all this stuff yet, intuitively, I felt, so what? The only one which I found to be significant and worth remembering was Miranda versus Arizona, wherein we are told, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Read, everything you say will be used against you. No maybe here. This particular Supreme Court ruling stuck with me as being one of the most important things I could ever learn, and I was accurate. This is the entire purpose of learning to say nothing, learning not to contract unwittingly. 64 A Course in Miracles. After 33 years of knowing something was seriously wrong, yet not knowing how things could possibly be the way they seem to be, my demand for peace of mind led me to a set of three texts called A Course in Miracles. The Course teaches that all which we experience is only a projection of our minds based upon our belief in our guilt due to our belief that we separated from God, which of course is impossible. So, none of this is happening except in our minds. Every event is just another opportunity to forgive ourselves for thinking that we abandoned God, which is a laughable concept. I think that everything about ACIM requires faith only until the evidence becomes obvious through experience. The Course incorporates both the Big Bang and God's creation of the universe. Actually, what ACIM says is that we, all one of us, as an extension of God, and hence God, thought of everything in an instant. This amount of focused energy must have seemed like a Big Bang. All of what seems to exist, all time, all dimensions, etc., were created as a hologram in an instant, yet it was not a true creation because all of this exists only in our minds as a thought. The Course tells us that thoughts leave not their source, hence, what we call creation is in fact a miscreation. That which evidences that it does not extend outside our minds, i.e., that our Creator is not directly involved, is the duality of everything in our known universe up down, light dark, male female, bad good, etc. If love is all there is, God being only a light slash love energy, and not an entity with human characteristics which the ego mind continues to threaten, then what is all encompassing can have no opposite. Whatever we perceive which is not love, and let's face it, this is most of what we perceive, thanks to the ego, then it can't possibly exist except in our minds. We made up the entire thing as a dream, and our Creator is just waiting for us to wake up and return home, even though we never left, except in our thoughts, for how could we leave something that is omnipresent? Our only sin is that we believe we separated from God, when, how could we? Think of our Creator slash God as a loving parent watching her child experience a bad dream. Life as we know it is often referred to as a nightmare. The parent has no idea what her child is dreaming, she knows only that it is terribly upsetting to the child. The parent can't intervene into the dream and change it to be more pleasant because the dream exists only in the child's mind. There is nothing to be done other than to get the child to awaken and realize that he made up the entire dream. Only when the child awakens, will he see how he caused himself such unnecessary grief. But while he is in the dream, it seems completely real. The following night, does the child go back into the dream with the intent to change the previous night's bad dream, or does he just move on with the next night's dream's adventures? The intent of the child is not only to move on but also to experience his dreams as pleasant. Wouldn't it be particularly convenient if he remained conscious within the dream so that if a bad dream showed up, he could know that none of it was real, that it was just a dream from which he would awaken and have no fear? Thomas Zass, in his book Myth of Mental Illness, acknowledges the dualities of life, and those things which we believe to be scourges of society are really just creations in order for us to be able to see ourselves as opposites, e.g., to assuage guilt, attorneys need criminals, to feel healthy, medics need sick patients, to feel erudite, professors need students, to feel righteous, churchgoers need sinners, to feel privileged, the rich need the poor, to feel generous, philanthropists need welfare recipients, to feel powerful, the authorities need the obedient, etc. We each created the opposite of who we think we are in order to believe in our own existence. We're all just continuously attempting to define and defend our existence. The reverse is also true, in that our spirit selves, who we really are, do not require the projection of the opposite of us, because there is no duality in reality. We actually do exist apart from our belief about who we think we are. Our fear of death is not of death per se, but of ceasing to exist as who we think we are. Those in medicine don't know health, those in schooling don't know education, those in media don't know the news, what's really going on in the world, those in religion don't know spirituality, those in finance don't know commerce, those in legal don't know law. Those of us outside these disciplines tend to be aware of the mind manipulation within them. Those within these disciplines cannot escape due to fear for their identity, who they think they are. If they ever woke up, who might they be? 65 Hence, we often reveal what we most loathe about ourselves via our jobs. They represent how we want others to perceive us. I ask every nurse, why did you become a nurse? I wanted to help people. Anyone who has ever done any inner work knows that we can't help anyone. We can only assist others in their healing. We all must do our own work. Nurses tend to believe that taking care of others is more honorable than taking care of themselves, and their self-loathing is revealed by their rampant addiction to substance as well as behavior. Most nurses are one of or any combination of overweight, smokers, drinkers, or druggies. Those who aren't don't claim to identify themselves as being a nurse. They are likely to know, "I am not my job." Those who try to hide out with their professions are doing themselves a disservice, not to mention those with whom they come into contact. Cops, collection agents, and all others who intend to intimidate people want the world to perceive them as powerful, but only because they believe they are not. Since at some visceral level we all know this, the cops become bullies because their jobs fail to assuage them of their belief in their powerlessness. The status of one's job might seem powerful, yet those behind the titles are powerless, by their own estimation, or they wouldn't have chosen that particular vocation. As Ram Dass said, cops are just God in drag. Lose the fear, Mare, because we attract only people, places, and things which vibrate at the same level at which we vibrate. It is easy to discover at what level we are vibrating by taking a look at what we have attracted. I never had a clue how frightened of life I was until I outgrew it enough to see the level of fear in my boy's father. I must have been that frightened and obviously operated at that low level in order to have attracted him to me. At the time I couldn't see how frightened he was of authority because I was seeing him from my perspective, which was equally frightened, no contrast. I can now see that my entire quest in life was to outgrow this fear, and the route I chose was to test my knowledge about who I truly am, my real, sovereign, powerful, spiritual self against the alleged authorities of this world. Like an ex-smoker's loathing of the presence of a cigarette smoker, it is difficult for me to be around frightened people, those who still do as they are told by the authorities in their lives, the doctors, attorneys, teachers, bureaucrats, ministers, police, etc. Guilt based upon the belief that we separated from our Creator, the one entity which loves us beyond what we can comprehend. As long as we have an ego mind, we feel somewhat stupid about having left such a loving energy. Who would do that? So, not only do we feel guilt over being stupid, but also our ego has convinced us that we have our Creator's punishment to fear if and when we finally do get back home. Our spirit mind does its level best to persuade us that this Creator is loving and isn't even capable of blame and punishment, but our ego mind tells us we are bad and deserve punishment, and upon our death, we will meet our Maker, we will be judged, and there will be hell to pay. This is just more of the same bad dream. We have projected our ego thinking onto an entity which has no ego. This is simply a love energy, the highest ever to exist, and our petty little minds think that it cares about punishing us? For what? Making up nonsense in a bad dream? Does our parent punish us upon our awakening from a bad dream? No, Mum is overjoyed that our peace of mind has been restored and we are no longer suffering. Does she have us tell her all about our bad dream and what horrible role we played in the dream, thereby prolonging the agony? No. If she's smart, she will tell us that it's all over and nothing to worry about, it was just a bad dream. But, in this life on this planet which we made up, we feel as if what we are dreaming, that we separated from God, is an attack against God, who will most certainly seek revenge when he gets his mitts on us. Why do most of us fear death? Because we fear the punishment that God is going to bestow upon us as soon as he judges how bad we were. Did Mum punish us even when we told of the horrible things we did in our bad dream, or did she just hug us and say how glad she is that we are out of our nightmare? We cannot usurp the power of an all-powerful entity, a ubiquitous loving light. What kind of arrogance has this ego which thinks it can remove itself from something which is everywhere always? Nevertheless, we are stuck with this absurd guilt from which we run our entire lives. What our egos tell us though is, that what works better is to inflict this guilt onto someone else so that we don't look so guilty in the eyes of God, so that, upon our arrival home, our fellows will catch more hell than we will. Well, the glitch to this is that 66, if it is all my bad dream, there is only one of me, and so inflicting guilt onto someone whom my ego tells me is not I, is just making my own circumstances worse. There is no one out there to accept my guilt, and the only thing I have accomplished is to go further unconscious. Now I am in a situation which will ultimately cause me more grief because I feel more guilt for having attacked another aspect of myself. There is no one out there. It is all my bad dream. Life is quite interesting in parts, but no substitute for the real thing. Douglas Adams: A Course in Miracles. No meaning that comes from outside ourselves is real. Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The crux of the Course is the relinquishment of fear and the acceptance of love. As this process of mental realignment works within the individual, it spreads through him to revitalize the lives of those around him. The means of this transformation is the practice of forgiveness. The goal of the Course is the attainment of inner peace. We were given the Course for several reasons, which include: 1. The necessity of healing the mind of its belief in attack is salvation. This is accomplished through forgiveness and the undoing of our belief in the reality of separation and guilt. 2. Correcting the errors of Christianity, particularly where it has emphasized suffering, sacrifice, separation, and sacrament as inherent to God's plan of salvation. 3. Emphasizing the importance of Jesus and/or the Holy Spirit as our loving and gentle teacher, and developing a personal relationship with this teacher. Whatever I think is going on in the world is going on only in my mind. Many other aspects of myself, those of me of different color, race, economic status, location, creed, sex, build, etc., seem to agree with me. Well, it's my dream, right? I can have it any way I choose, unless of course I am so unconscious that I am not in control of my dreams. I notice, just for the sake of drama, my dream includes those who appear to disagree with me. I call them banksters. No good dream is without the bad guys, eh? Take a look at what is going on in my dream. 95% of the wealth is held by 5% of the people, so at age 65, 1% are wealthy, 4% can retire, 29% are dead, 63% are on SSA/CP or charity. You can see where this makes my ego want to blame the PTB for making miserable most of the other aspects of myself in this world. The problem with blame is that I thereby make it real. If I think someone is trying to hurt me, this is indicative of my belief that I deserve punishment. Since I now fully understand that I do not, and I do energy work daily to release our ancient belief in guilt, I notice that where my now much more peaceful mind takes me is into actions which benefit all of us, even the black hearts. They also will ultimately be better off when the rest of us wake up. I intend not to fight them or even to make them particularly miserable. My intention is to do what works for me and any other aspect of myself who happens to know that resistance only causes the persistence of a situation. It gives it energy. I use my energy to get what I want, not to stop anyone else from having what my ego doesn't want them to have. As with everything else, our chances of becoming wealthy are always 50-50, either we will or we won't. However, the odds of the government confiscating it increase daily. So, among the solutions to this are: 1. Give up. 2. Work harder. 3. Find a better way, i.e., change my mind about the whole thing. Only the last one affords us any freedom. Digging in the same hole will only get us deeper. We must make a lateral move and look somewhere other than at what the PTB tell us to do, which is to work longer/harder, invest astutely, and take a chance on the lottery. Each of these alleged solutions only keeps us chasing 67 after nothing. It will not get us what we want. People are desperate to make money. What does this tell you? The fear surrounding dollar is the best indication that we are barking up the wrong tree. All I ask is a chance to prove that money won't make me happy. Ashley Brilliant: If women truly want to work, and I've met 4 who do, then this becomes a case of their doing what they want to do. If they don't want to work and are doing so solely for the dollar, they need to understand that this is an effort in futility. They will have much of it confiscated in one form or another. They will be denying themselves time to do what they want to do, they will become a number on the federal books, and most important, they are believing that the solution to the problem of not enough money is to get more money. It is not. The solution to the problem of not enough money is to learn that there is no money and going after something which not only doesn't exist but also is digging them into an even greater hole, is at best, band-aid solution and at worst, literally ignoring the cause. Remembering that cause and effect are always reversed from what our egos believe, The idea is to get rid of our alleged money. I know this sounds anathema to most people, but if dollar represents debt, why would we want it? Anything we think we are buying with it doesn't belong to us, because how can we own anything for which we did not give value? Those of you who are proud of yourselves that you have worked hard all your lives and can now admit to living in a house that is paid off and driving a car which is paid for, and have enough dollar for retirement due to wise investing, are in for a big surprise. All you have done during those years of labor and slick investing is moved from steerage up to first class on the Titanic. The system is about to collapse. Having more of nothing than everyone else still leaves you with nothing. Have you ever been playing a game of Monopoly, registered trademark, and partway through the game you realize that there is no way you can win? Your opponent owns most of the good properties, you own most of the cheap properties, and there are no properties, utilities, or railroads left to buy. Racing your car across the yellow/red and green/blue sides of the board is like going through a minefield. You know you'll never make it without landing on something with a hotel and three houses. You look at your available cash, the chances of getting to go for a measly $200, and yet another trip around the board, the odds of your opponent landing on your hardly built-up properties, and decide to throw in the towel. Is this just being a sore loser? A quitter? Or is this wisdom? Why not concede? Why suffer any further indignities? What is the gain in playing until completely bankrupt? Why waste any more time? Why not play something else? The IB's commerce game is a game only they can win. The banksters cannot lose, they have forced everyone to play, and they have forced everyone into a debt from which we cannot escape. US/CA, as a bankrupt corporation, is owned completely by its creditors, the bankers. They own all levels of the media, government, education, religion, everything. If you have a birth certificate, they own you too. They control every transaction, they control what is going on in the world, they even control the puppet whom the world blames for the terror and threat of war, GW. Do you like the results of this control? Are you enjoying the game? The only way to win the commerce game is not to play. We were never meant to operate in commerce, they tricked us into it, and for their benefit. Isn't there something we'd rather be doing? What do banks do with this credit which we created with our signing of promises to pay? They lend it. Banks are not permitted to lend their money or their assets, they are allowed to lend only credit which we created. So, it is only liability which is being spread around, with the added liability of interest attached to it each time it is used to pay someone. Banks now charge a service fee for any and all transactions, and most recipients still declare the liability as, and pay tax on, the income. The value of the note is thus diminished each time. Hence, we have inflation. When I ostensibly pay you $50 for a service you provided me, since I am paying you with funds which were borrowed into existence, and now have interest attached to it, how can it ever get paid? From whence comes the interest to pay when the interest has yet to be borrowed into existence? If I borrow your car, how can I bring back more of your car than I borrowed? It doesn't exist. Every transaction gets us further into a debt which does not exist, except in the minds of the banksters. The only way for us to win is not to play. Earning and/or using the banksters' notes is tantamount to the alcoholic's drinking to obliterate his stark realization of his horrible circumstances created by his drinking. Talk about a downward spiral. There is no recovery unless one simply stops drinking, i.e., gets out of the commerce game. We cannot win by accumulating more of what is impoverishing us. But how can one opt out? What is vastly more important than this alleged debt from which we can never escape, are the emotional and spiritual repercussions of the circumstances created by this vicious cycle, which are intentional, by the 68 way. What better way to control people than to impoverish them? Only one way: keep them in fear over poverty. Herein lies a seeming dilemma. How can we exempt ourselves from a game which everyone is playing? To think that we will be farther ahead if we just had more money is pure folly. Many take on second and third jobs in order to make more money. They are just taking another drink. They are snow plowing the problem, which removes them only farther from recovery. We might have to bear the pain of withdrawal, but think of the freedom if we can survive it. We might have to apply the 12-step program and simply have faith that the energy of our Creator will direct us if we will only remove our souls from the addiction which is causing our sense of powerlessness. We must intend for our freedom from our attachment to the belief that money will keep us safe. It will not. It is keeping us dependent and, like alcohol to the addict, making our situation worse as each day passes. We might have to quit our jobs in order to remove ourselves from confiscatory taxation, from the belief that there will be a pension when we retire, from the hope that if we get sick our health benefits package or the national health will kick in. How might we feel if we became totally dependent upon ourselves, each other, and our Creator, which has revealed in no uncertain terms that we will not perish if we apply the energy of faith into the concept of our needs will be met? We must develop the faith of our Creator, not faith in our Creator, but the faith of our Creator. What if God intended to do something and then wondered whether it would work or not? Dennis Crum. We cannot find safety and security in something that does not exist. There is no money. Many New Age people talk about there being enough money for everyone. I want to tell them, of what you think is money, there is only $263 billion US in circulation. Considering Bill Gates alone is worth $46 billion, or so, much of it is offshore, much of it is unaccountable because of its entanglement with the drug trade, and still millions are out there under mattresses, etc. leaves only a maximum of about $700 per living soul, $1,400 if you want to count only adults. So, there is not enough money for everyone. What there is credit, and that amount is unlimited. One woman lamented that she and her husband had been $30,000 in debt. She quickly qualified that as not cash that we handed over, it was credit card debt. This alleged credit card debt does not exist. It is credit, not debt. The secret of this is revealed in its name, credit card, as opposed to debt card. She is under the misconception that she borrowed credit when in fact she created it, and the bank extended to her only a fraction of that which she created with her own signature. She does not owe credit card debt, there is nothing to repay. It is all EFT, electronic funds transfer. The bank never gave her anything. Who among us will step out of the belief, the more money I have, the safer I will be? Who will quit the corporate career which keeps the average man enslaved for a lifetime of labor for barely enough to get by? There is no power in continuing this. Upon our deathbeds, will we wonder why we kept doing what we did? I imagine meeting my Creator and being asked, "So why didn't you do what you wanted to do?" There is no acceptable response to this. What? Fear? My Creator laughs and asks, "Didn't you believe me when I told you that I would provide for you, that you had nothing to fear, that you are an extension of me and so you have access to my power? What could possibly have frightened you? I was told I had to work for a living, I had to justify my existence, I had to do something useful, I had to prove my worth, the Protestant work ethic, blah, blah, blah." The Creator just laughs. Why would you listen to the propaganda of those who would take your power from you, who would frighten and intimidate you, who would enslave you, when you could have chosen to recall what I promised you, which would have granted you peace? What's to say? So, we must begin to work for each other. I must do for you what I know best to do, my talent bestowed upon me by my Creator, what I love to do. Isn't this what I ought to be doing? Will you do for another what you love to do? Will this feel like work? No. Will your friend do for me what I want done and yet am not particularly good at doing? Will he be happy to do this for me? You bet. Are we not our happiest when we serve ourselves through serving others? If indeed we are all one, won't I see that doing for another living soul is the same as serving me? Whom are we charging and how much and for what? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Will I, somewhere along my path of doing what I want to do, just happen to notice that I am no longer serving a major corporation, but rather my fellow living souls? Corporations, by definition, do not exist. They are legal fictions. The purpose for their alleged existence is for their limited liability and that of the living souls who operate them. The law does not go after an entity who owns nothing. Corporations have nothing to give. You can't get blood from a stone. Now you see why the wealthiest in the world own 69 nothing yet control everything. We ought to take a lesson. We ought to stop wanting to own things, since we can't anyway because we do not have legal title to the things we think we own, we have only equitable title. We are allowed to use that which the state allows us to use. This includes our bodies. We cannot own anything for which we haven't paid or for which we have relinquished title, e.g., our bodies via the birth registration. Since we have nothing with which to pay, we own nothing unless we use asset funds to pay for legal title. Unfortunately, unless we have handled our commercial affairs properly, we also cannot control anything. We must take back our lives and do what we want to do before we will be forced to do what corporate entities want us to do and for less than we're getting now. We must put our commercial affairs in order. We must get out of the commerce game and get used to the idea of service. As an interim part of getting there, for those of us who can't make the leap, we can and are doing exchanges. We can exchange time, our talent, our labor, or some other commodity upon which we agree. This is commonly known as barter and yet, it still involves accounting of which we will ultimately have to let go rather like going from alcohol to candy eventually. We have to clear the anxiety which is behind the addiction since it is fear which keeps us chasing dollar dollar dollar. We will have arrived when we can admit, I do for you what I do and you do for me what you do. That's it, just the joy of doing what we know we were meant to do. Since I have been doing what I want to do I have never been happier and I have received more, in ways I could never have anticipated, than I ever have. Even this book is free for the asking. My analogy is that the commerce game is tantamount to the nightmare, not so ruthless as barter slash exchange, this will transform the nightmare into a pleasant dream. Yet, pleasant or not, a dream means we are still asleep. So barter slash exchange slash pleasant dream still means we haven't made the quantum leap to service and doing what we love to do, which is tantamount to waking up. I wonder if we can skip the interim step. Maybe, as Ian Lungold, MayanMaj9.com, suggests, we are being watched by others from an alternate dimension, time or space, in the same manner as one might watch a sporting event empathizing with those who are and cheering on the winners, all the while knowing that none of it matters because it's only a game. The day I read his article it just so happened was the same day I received, via registered post, a threatening letter from the Alberta Association of Registered Nurses which listed all the terrible things which would happen to me if I didn't submit to their RICO, extortion and racketeering, licensure. One is they will no longer permit me to slave labor for that fictional, corrupt, extortive, corporate entity referred to, euphemistically, as Alberta Health and Wellness without paying them to let me. I am no longer permitted to poison people for them, nor to support my family, which is now illegal if I don't pay them off. Of course my ego taunted me with not being able to earn a living, the repercussions of which might have caused me to vacillate. Burn no bridges, it told me. Essentially, I would no longer be permitted to work, taking care of old people in the nursing home is illegal unless one has paid the PTB for a permit rendering it legal, as of the end of 2002. I intend to do what I want to do. I can't help thinking maintaining my RN license was in fact part of what was keeping me from breaking free because it represents fear as opposed to faith in my right and ability to do that which I feel certain is my purpose in this lifetime. Lungold suggests that when we take a stand and do what we know to be ethical, energy from the collective unconscious, those cheering us on, allows us to succeed. Our ethical choices begin an upward spiral for getting the results which our true selves intend for us. It is the shift from fear which creates the vacuum for these results to show up, creating the space to have it be the way we want it. Wouldn't you just hate to find yourself in the after-death dimension and have your creator ask, why did you do what you knew was unethical? Why did you breach your integrity? Getting ahead aka divide and conquer, the belief that we need money in order to pay debts gets really shabby when we realize that we are operating from fear. Haven't we been promised that we will be provided for? Yet we operate our entire lives from competing with one another. Does this suit the banksters, or what? If they can keep us in a position of either envying or holding in disdain, another whose financial circumstances differ from our own, they have succeeded in upholding our belief that we are separate from one another. Divide and conquer. As long as we believe we are separate, we will continue to compete, and we will remain alone against those who wish to enslave us. It is happening. For commerce to work, there must be a debtor and a creditor. An account is created to keep track of the debts and credits. In commerce, the only way one can win is to have more debtors than creditors. This is 70 done by starting a business. We then sell to others our time and talent. The more people you find with needs, the more debtors you have. The problem with this system is that we are forced to be in competition with others who are offering the same time and talent. In order for one to win, the other must lose. The more people I put out of business, the better I can support my family. We make our brother a debtor to us by working for the love of money instead of the love of service and giving our time and talent in love. When we keep accounts who owes whom, we keep a record of wrongs. Also, to win in commerce, we must destroy the competition. Nothing personal, it's just business. Nicholas Gratchanin, it is lose/lose because it is based upon the concept of separation. The commerce game is the epitome of the manifestation of our egoistic belief that we are separate from one another. Not only are we entertaining the elite, but also they live off our energy, which is translated into the tax we pay for our licenses, which allow us to work a vicious cycle which is a lose/lose for us, as our time, talent, energy, and spirituality is wasted and misdirected. Much better to receive everything you need by exchange and then give, whatever it is you do, from love. Each progressive spirit is opposed by 1,000 mediocre minds appointed to guard the past. Maurice Maeterlinck. It does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds. Samuel Adams. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. H.D. Thoreau. Commerce has to do with the buying and selling of goods, having profit as the chief aim, which means gain. Gain/profit is not a matter of mere exchange, but includes the idea of increase, usually at someone else's expense. There is no getting ahead of what or of whom. Your present status? The other fellow? The only way to get ahead of someone else is first to regard him as someone other than yourself. Those who get ahead by moving up in the world are not getting anything but more world. Getting ahead usually means getting better than breaking even, i.e., living paycheck to paycheck, but there's nothing wrong with that because clearly our needs are being met and we're breaking even jumbo limbo. What breaking even does is simply instill us with fear. What if? We all want a cushion. Those who believe they need cushions, generally create a need for a cushion, like those who spend a fortune on every type of insurance, medical, car, professional, etc. At those prices, I sure hope they get to use it. I spent my life trying to get ahead and realized I wouldn't be doing much else because my ego held no defining line on this. What is enough? As long as it keeps us wanting more, we'll never be at peace. To the question, how much is enough, Rockefeller responded, just a little more than I have. A friend is concerned that her taxes are going to fund this and that, with which she doesn't agree. Taxes don't go anywhere except to the IMF to fund anything except communism and terror. Communism got a bad rap in the 50s when McCarthy went bonkers over the House Committee for Un-American Activities, but let's face it, what is communism but state-owned/controlled everything? The state now owns the securities on your body, your house, your automobile, your marriage, your children, your property, so don't pretend we don't live under communism. We do. We've just been tricked into thinking otherwise because it has been disguised precisely the way Khrushchev declared we'll get you without bombs, in a way you'll never realize. They will destroy us from the inside, not a shot will be fired. Why do you think they came up with the hate crime bill? To remind us to hate. Just like the Fed's war on everything, it reminds us where to put our attention and our energy. On what we put our attention increases. Energy flows where attention goes. These people aren't stupid, they are diabolical. How do you keep your children from doing something which doesn't work for them? Keep telling them not to do it. No, all that does is remind them to do it. Don't think of a pink elephant, this is Psych 101. Doesn't anyone remember? If the feds can get you to hate another, done best by reminding you not to, then forcing you to hand over your dollar to fund the needs of the other, then they win. People aren't seeing the whole picture because they are seeing it from inside the frame. Our five-sense reality is unreliable. The feds keep our egos in survival mode and convince us that what is not true is true and vice versa. Let me repeat that the ego's qualifications as a guide are singularly unfortunate. ACIM 71. Remember an old Twilight Zone episode where a bunch of small town folks all gathered in the street in the middle of the night because something strange had happened and they were attempting to get to the bottom of it. I don't recall if it were a flying saucer or a loud noise or strange lights, but they were frightened as they began to guess what happened. Because of their fear, they began to accuse one another of previous suspicious behavior and therefore their possible connection with this. As each man or woman felt attacked, he became defensive and attacked someone else. This escalated into nonsense and then into viciousness. The camera panned farther and farther back until we saw two men in some sort of strange environment, like a spaceship, who have been watching all this. One said to the other, "See? We don't have to do anything, they'll destroy themselves." Rod Sorling was ahead of his time. Although I knew for years that I had attached my own value to that of my economic assets, the penny dropped only recently, thereby allowing me to see all the times I had equated my value, as an extension of my creator, with something which didn't even exist except in the minds of men. It was a rude awakening and very freeing. It allowed me to see others in the same light. I promptly forgave us all for not having made it in the world. I even forgave those who had, since, after all, we're all just doing the best we can. We've heard all our lives that we ought not to take life so seriously, that we must stop and smell the roses, that we need time for relaxation, that upon our deathbeds we will not be wishing we'd spent more time at the office, etc. This is a classic example of something we know in our hearts is true and yet behave completely contrarywise. This is what causes our distress, commonly heard as "I'm under a lot of stress." If what we were doing, working too hard for too many hours a day away from our loved ones, were in keeping with our true natures, we would not be feeling distress. It is the conflict which causes our angst. We have innate knowledge that our Creator did not intend for us to be anything but joyous or doing anything which does not bring us joy. I have a continual vision of my Creator slapping its forehead, if indeed creators even have foreheads, wondering why we insist upon torturing ourselves. Nightmare. How is it that both the good guys and the bad guys think that God is on their side? The Course teaches that God has nothing to do with any of this, that we made up the entire nightmare, and that God, love/light energy, is simply waiting for us to wake up and remember that we never left except in our insane thought system. We are extensions of our Creator, not separate from it, as most religions teach. Religions teach that God created the beauty of the world and yet not the starving children of the world. How can any mind reconcile this contradiction? God had nothing to do with this world, and the evidence of this is the duality of the world. The concept of God is that it just is, there is no other side of it. What is all-encompassing can have no opposite. God cannot impact events which are occurring only within our minds. Since a creator cannot create anything which is not of itself, how could God create something which is not God-like? We are all a shattered pane of glass. Each shard, seemingly separate from the other, is all from the same pane. Why bother thinking of it as anything but a part of us? So, God couldn't possibly have any idea what we're up to. It knows only love and light. As convincing as our nightmare is while we are in it, still does not make it true. All we have to do is wake up. What am I doing at a level of consciousness where this seems real? Werner Erhard, this is where we are headed with this process. Everything we have been taught as true is not. We must start over. The biggest culprit is the education system. John Taylor Gatto got out of teaching because "I refuse to harm another child." Read his latest, The Underground History of American Education. It's the same story as the banksters. Our entire world/universe is a hologram which is solely a projection of our fear. Makes you wonder what we're doing here, doesn't it? We're all involved in the biggest con game ever. Can we wake up in time and get out of it? If so, how? Most solutions of the world are band-aid solutions fixing the effect, the signs and symptoms. A better way to change the effect is to heal the cause, however this still keeps us stuck in believing there is a problem. Treating either cause or effect focuses on the problem. The only solution is to create a third option which has nothing to do with either cause or effect. It has to do with the creation of what works. Focus on what we want. Focus on something which appears not to be in existence right now. Just create its appearance because it's always been there, just like everything else within the hologram. 72 affirmations. Affirmations will get you what you think you want, but that won't bring you peace. Ken Wapnick. I always knew affirmations didn't work because every time I said any, all I could think was, who am I trying to convince? I realized that if something were true, I wouldn't need to affirm it. It would just be. If something is the truth, you don't have to believe it. Werner Erhard. So, putting notes on my bathroom mirror didn't remind me of anything other than the fact that I didn't yet have what I claimed I wanted. In rapid eye technology we learn to do energy circles. We put all our IAMS into the circle, then add a bunch of energy, and become part of that energy. So, thinking I had a better idea, I continued to affirm, but instead of using an energy circle, I tapped on energy spots, meridians, on my body, I am safe, I am prosperous, etc. Still didn't work. One morning I suddenly knew that the glitch in all this is that what I am affirming is already true, the problem was that I didn't feel it. Whether something is true or not became irrelevant, what mattered is how I was feeling. I was reminded of Paul McCartney, who claimed that with all his millions he still feared the day when he might be destitute. The ultimate matter is always peace of mind. Clearly his dollar had not, at that point in his life, brought him peace. Yes, I hear you saying, well, it would me. It would not, so never mind. What we want is to feel prosperous and safe, since all that matters anyway is what is going on in our minds. Whether the evidence bears out is immaterial and irrelevant. We want to feel. Since everything we experience is interpretation, who cares what seems to be the material? If it's all a dream, do you want a happy dream or a scary dream? So, in changing my affirmations to I feel safe, I feel prosperous, etc., everything began to change. Since my state of mind, my attitude is everything and it is my thoughts which have the power to create, I now had the means to create everything I need and everything I consciously desire. Thoughts originating from the high vibratory state of love/joy emotions will naturally and quickly attract like. The trick is to monitor one's thoughts and state of mind. We must remain vigilant. The secret to life is mind management. We must change our minds about what we think about the world. Seek not to change the world. Seek rather to change your mind about the world. I am the reasonable man adapts himself to the world, the unreasonable man persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore all progress depends upon the unreasonable man. Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. G. Bernard Shaw. Imagine how we would feel if we knew we were just dreaming everything, that we were making up all of it, that none of it mattered, and we could feel any way about it that we chose to feel, and that the feeling itself would create the next part of the dream. Remember those who turn around to see the monster chasing them. What if we laughed? Norman Livergood talks about von Senden's book, Persons Who Have Gained Their Sight Through Surgery Show a Remarkable Unwillingness to See. For most of us, it would seem that one who was given one's sight would be immediately eager to learn how to use this new capability. But the old habits of blindness are powerful influences. In the same way, ordinary sighted people who are given the opportunity to see the world often refuse to look at what is really happening. They prefer their blindness, being told what to think and do by others. It does no good to show these people what the truth is, they simply do not want to see it. The old habits of prejudice and subjection to authority figures is much too comfortable. It is ignorance that causes us to identify ourselves with the body, the ego, the senses, or anything that is not the higher consciousness. He is a wise man who overcomes this ignorance by devotion to the higher consciousness. Shankara, the crest jewel of wisdom during the 70s and 80s, the Human Potential Movement seminars categorically stated that one must have not only goals but also the means written in triplicate in order to execute said personal or professional goals. They had us writing affirmations up the yin-yang in the hope that somehow our subconscious mind would implement what our conscious mind seemed incapable of doing. Our lists were endless. In 1989 I went to a spiritual retreat at the Foundation for a Course in Miracles, during which Kenneth Wapnick said, "Affirmations work. They will bring you what you think you want. Yet getting what we think we want will 73 not grant us peace. We have no idea what we truly want. The only way to master the physical plane is by avoiding goal-oriented actions." Barbara Miller, a want comes from the ego mind, which is based upon fear, seek but do not find. My friend corroborates this by telling me that a woman could write her list of all the qualities she wants in a man, and when she finally gets the man, she thinks, "Yikes. Did I forget to write non-homicidal maniac?" I have a tape wherein Marianne Williamson is coaching a fellow who had been writing affirmations about getting a bit part on Hill Street Blues. It's an old tape, and he asked if she were saying it's wrong for him to do this. She told him, "No. You will probably manage to land a bit part on Hill Street Blues if you continue to write affirmations. The problem lies in the possibilities which you are excluding. When God/the universe/life/source/your higher self/creates a role for you in a major movie, you will be unavailable because you will be under contract with Hill Street Blues." In other words, our ego minds are not playing full on. We are playing small because we are operating from fear created by a belief that we don't deserve to have what we want. The PTB hope we will continue to believe this and thwart any attempts to gain consciousness, keep us watching TV where they can control what we think. What might be in store for us is much bigger than we could ever imagine. Our egos limit us. Our spirits free us. People occasionally ask me, "How do you get your cash?" I answer, "I don't know, it just shows up. I don't need to know. My job is to do what I want do. I assign my higher self the job of getting me what I need and want." The PTB keep us in anger and fear. This is how they survive on our low vibratory energy. They need us for everything. They need our psychological, low, negative energy, and they need our commercial energy. If we just agree not to play, they can't survive. They are the projected ego mind. When we don't tolerate our ego's negative chatter, it goes away. We need to stop giving these thugs our energy because they love it. We need to focus higher. We must keep our psychic energy high. We must be light workers. Negative circumstances will fail to survive when we refuse to sustain them with emotional energy. Today, the stranglehold of the controlling negative forces upon Earth is extremely advanced and is choking the very life from our planet. The effects of this are evident everywhere in the form of fear, separation, war, disease, and multifarious kinds of disharmony on all levels. David Icke, The Veil of Tears, further to illustrate that there is nothing outside the mind, not even what our five senses tell us, David Icke tells the story of a man being hypnotized to believe his daughter is not in the room, and although she is standing directly in front of him, facing him, he cannot see her. He can, however, see the inscription on the watch held, by the hypnotist, to the small of her back. His mind was most certainly reading from outside his physical vision. We think we know what we want and swear that we are not happy because we don't have what we want, and that we won't be happy until we have what we want. In one Twilight Zone episode, a man wanted only to read. Everything else in his life was a distraction which kept him from his books. His wife, his son, his work, everything was a problem for him because he just wanted to be left alone. One day he awoke and everything in life was the same, except there were no people in his world to keep him from reading. His wife and son were not at breakfast, so he could read the newspaper in peace, and when he arrived at work all was in order, but there were no colleagues demanding his time, so he got to spend the day reading. He was finally happy. He arrived home, his supper was on the table but no wife to keep him from his book. Life was finally perfect. Everything seemed to be the way he had always wanted it and not one living soul to keep him from his passion reading. One evening he went down to the basement for something. Upon his climbing the stairs, for some reason he bent over and his glasses fell out of his pocket and smashed on the cement floor. His stark realization that there was no optician to replace his glasses put such fear into me, not to mention him, that from then on I questioned everything I ever again thought I wanted. We have all heard, you can't change anyone but yourself. Trying to change those who govern us is a waste of time and energy. The government doesn't exist, it is a fictitious entity, so the only entities attempting to govern us are simply living souls/private entities just as we are. They are not the government, as in, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. If they personally have no claim against us, they have no clout. They must have a claim in order to exact performance from us. We can change either our minds about how we interpret what they're doing and not doing, or we can change our status, ideally both, so we are no longer at the effect of those in the business of confiscating our funds. Fortunately, there are ways to do this. 74 Root of all evil?